The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Can I ask you a very personal, very serious, and very deep question? Do you have a solid theology of suffering? Let me repeat the question. Now, this is heavy, but we need to talk about it. Do you have a solid theology of suffering? I'll tell you why I asked that question here in just a moment. I want to welcome you to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. We welcome our listeners down in Tampa, Florida. It's been my privilege to be sitting in for Bill Bunkley these last several days. Today's the last day. Bill Bunkley should be returning to the airwaves tomorrow. So welcome to our listeners on Faith Talk 570 and 910 AM in Tampa. And, of course, I welcome my listeners in Columbus, Ohio, to Bob Burney Live on The Word, AM 880 and 104.5 FM. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I don't know whether you've heard about Long Hollow Baptist Church down in Tennessee, I believe. It's a big church, mega church. But they really got hit with COVID. They had shown a steady, deep decline in attendance and membership and so forth. And then they began praying. And they began seeking God for a spirit of revival. Now, if you follow these things, you may have seen Long Hollow Baptist Church reported in Christian news sources. For about 7 months, they have had a continuous revival. I mean, it's like the revivals you read about in years past and centuries past. It's just been going on and on and on and on for 7 months. They've just had this incredible outpouring of God's Spirit upon them. And in the last 7 months, they have seen 1,361 people baptized in 7 months. Now, most churches, even mega churches, would not have that many people baptized in 7 years, not just months, or 70 years. 1,361 people. They've seen crumbling marriages restored, lives that were falling apart, turned around. They have had hundreds of people accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So they have been going through 7 months of just incredible spiritual highs. And then last Friday, one of their staff, Chris Swain, 48 years old, former Marine, the epitome of health and fitness. He was an author, podcaster, discipleship pastor at Long Hollow. He was going to attend to a baseball game with a fellow staff member on the church, his best friend. He texted his friend and said, "I'm going to take the dog for a quick walk and then I'll be out and I'll meet you." Well, Pastor Chris Swain took the family dog out, and he was found around 6 p.m. lying on the floor, on the ground, by his mailbox, unresponsive and not breathing. A neighbor came by, started CPR, called an ambulance. They took him to the hospital, placed him on a ventilator. The word spread quickly through the church. Almost immediately, over 150 people showed up at the hospital in pouring rain to pray for Pastor Swain that God would deliver him. His friend said, quote, "We begged God, we read scripture, we wept at times because we simply could not talk as we prayed for my friend's recovery." Well, he didn't recover. He died. He died. Pastor of a church experiencing an incredible revival. Picture of health, former Marine. He's serving God. He's living for God. His family is serving God. And he dies suddenly, unexpectedly, and tragically. How do we explain that? How do we answer the questions that people will have? Why him? He was serving God. He had so much to give. The church was in the middle of a revival, and he was a part of it. And, of course, you have, why would a loving God? How many times have you heard that? How many times possibly have you said that? When my wife and I moved to the Columbus, Ohio area many years ago, back in, probably shouldn't admit it, but it was in 1976, and we started a new little baby church in a suburb of Columbus called Westerville. My first time as a senior pastor, I was young. I was like 23 years old. I knew eventually if I was a pastor, I would conduct a funeral. I would probably conduct many, but I had no idea my first funeral would be a five-year-old. Five-year-old. He was playing with a ball out in his front yard. The teenager living next door had his new driver's license and wanted to go out driving around. He wasn't really reckless. He just wasn't watching. The little boy's ball rolled across the driveway. He ran to get it. The teenager backed up completely over the little boy. Ambulance was called, taken to the hospital. I got a call from the parents. I got there quickly, praise God. They rode with me to the hospital. And I was with them in the little room right off the emergency room when the doctor came in and told them that their five-year-old son was killed. He was dead. I took them back to their house. And I'll never forget this. There were little handprints all over the sliding glass door going out to the patio. Little handprints all over. And the mother fell to her knees and put her hands on those handprints and began weeping and saying, "How can I ever clean these handprints off of this door?" My first funeral as a senior pastor. What do you say to those parents? They were living for God, good, godly people. And this little boy was so innocent and died in a tragic accident. That's why I asked you the question. Do you have a solid theology of suffering? If you don't, you need one. Because you're not getting out of this life without some suffering. In spite of what the guys on TV tell you, suffering is a part of living on this fallen planet. When we return, I'll try to help you with a theology of suffering.
today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Do you have a theology of suffering? I would say that the general population certainly does not. And sadly, most Christians do not. Because none of us like suffering. None of us want to suffer. None of us desire suffering. But here is the truth. Suffering is a part of living on this fallen planet. I know there's some guys on TV, some TV evangelists that tell you if you have enough faith and if you send them a dollar or two or a hundred or a thousand, then you won't suffer. They are lying to you. That is not what the Word of God teaches. Now, I'm going to run out of time here. A theology of suffering begins with your purpose on this earth. Why do you live and breathe? Why, right now, you're breathing, air is going in and out of your lungs, your heart is beating and pulsing blood through your body. Why? Ultimately, your purpose is to bring glory to God. Please understand that. That is why you live and move and have your being, is to bring glory to God. And because of that, life is not about you. It's about Him. This is not original with me. But God is much more concerned about your character than His comfort, than your comfort. God is much more concerned about your character than your comfort. Life is not about you, it's about Him. And because of that, it is our responsibility to surrender to sovereign God completely, fully, unconditionally, and then let God determine how He is going to receive glory in you and through you. If you can learn that, and my friend, even if you learn it, you'll have to be reminded of it over and over and over again. Our responsibility is to surrender unconditionally to a sovereign God. It is His responsibility to determine how He receives glory. Sometimes God just overloads us with benefits and blessings and we give God glory. Sometimes God brings us through deep trials, deep, dark, lonely valleys in order to receive glory. Can I share some scripture with you just quickly? Let me just run through Romans 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. 1 Peter chapter 5, but the God of all grace who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, listen, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you after you have suffered. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, testings. Paul, who knew a great deal about suffering, his whole thorn in the flesh thing, he writes in Romans chapter 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, suffering, when we are completely surrendered, brings glory to Him. 1 Peter chapter 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter is saying, when you suffer, it's not out of the ordinary. It's not unusual. It's not strange for a child of God to suffer. Can I read that for you again? Again, 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. John 16. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. Listen carefully. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We all love Revelation 21, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Well, he can't wipe them away unless there are there. And there will be a day, it says, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. But that's not till we get to heaven, folks. It is not now. My wife and I have just been clinging recently to 2 Corinthians 4. We are troubled. We are troubled. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Sometimes as Christians, we are cast down. We are troubled on every side, and yet God is there. When thou passest through the waters, Isaiah 43, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. 2 Timothy 3, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Psalm 34, I love this. This is so much the opposite of much that is being taught today. Listen to this, Psalm 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Do you hear that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It doesn't say many of the afflictions of the wicked and the evil. That may be true as well. But David learned many, not just a few, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the verse doesn't stop there. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Suffering is a part of living on this planet, and when you accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you did not become exempt. The Word of God is filled with examples of His people who suffered. But God gave them grace, God gave them strength, God gave them peace. And yes, sometimes we come to the place like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, oh God, please, if you could take this cup from me, please. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You must develop a theology of suffering. You must.